We're on page 704, the middle of the page where Shvi is, Pasuk Mem Zayin, Pasuk 47. Until now we learned about an Eved Ivri, if a person becomes poor and he needs to sell himself as a slave, you basically have to treat him nicely. We learned about an Eved Kanani, a Goyish slave that a Jew bought, that also he works forever, and his kids become yours, and we learned that there's a positive mitzvah not to free him, but to make a minyan. You are allowed to free him. All these things were discussed last week. Now the Torah is going to discuss, so to speak, a very sad situation. When a Jew is poor, he needs to be sold as a slave, but he ends up selling himself to a goy. Now this mitzvah is speaking in the time of when the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, that the Jewish Beis Din controlled the non-Jews also, because they were the Geret, as we'll soon see, the people that accepted the seven mitzvahs, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, but they were controlled by the Jewish Beis Din. So even though the din is that a Jew is not allowed to sell himself as a slave to a non-Jew, for a very simple reason, because he's not going to be able to keep mitzvahs properly. He's going to be in a goyish house, there's kashrus and Shabbos and all the other things. But what happens if it happens? So the Torah is going to tell us the laws. So in Pasuk Mem Zayin, the Torah says like this, V'chi sasig yad ger v'teishav imach, if the means of a sojourner, meaning a person that lives amongst you, and as Rashi says, this refers to a guy that keeps the seven mitzvahs, and therefore he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, and he has money to buy a slave, and he buys a slave who happens to be Jewish. And your brother became poor with him, meaning he had to sell himself as a slave. And he sold himself to an alien, meaning a person who is not Jewish, or to an idol of a Ger's family, meaning like this. As Rashi explains, he sold himself to be like a wood chopper for a temple, a Goyish temple, a water drawer. He didn't do anything of Aveda Zara, because a Jew can't do, but he sold himself to these Goyim to do work, either in the Goy's house, or in their temple, whatever they're going to be doing. So again, even though he is not allowed to do it, but he did it. And if he did it, the sale is a sale. He sold himself. So the sale is a good sale. So what happens? Acharei nimkar, the din is like this. After he has been sold, ge'ula tihi yalei, he could be redeemed. Echad me echav yigalenu, one of his relatives should redeem him. And here, we learned this, by the way, in the Gemara Kedushin, by the way, in the Gemara Shir. But the Pasuk is explaining over here as follows. In a case when a Jew sold himself to a guy, there is an obligation on his relatives to buy him back. Redeem him. And the Pasuk is going to say, the closer the relative, the closer the obligation, the more the obligation is to buy him back. This the Pasuk doesn't say, but the Gemara says, what happens if the relatives don't buy him back? So then Beis Din has to buy him back. Because we don't want a Jew remaining in a non-Jewish house. Because, like he said, he's a full-fledged Jew. He can't keep mitzvahs in a Goyish house. So there's a mitzvah to redeem him. Now, even though the Medrash, the Sipurna says, that even though it was wrong for him to sell him, and he was not allowed to sell himself to the guy, he did an Aveda, nevertheless the Torah says he's still a Jew, and we have to treat him accordingly, and we have to get him out of the guy. Which, by the way, in a spiritual sense, it's very interesting. That means sometimes a Jew, spiritually speaking, a Jew sells himself to Goyishkeit. You know, he sells himself to the non-Jewish world. So many people are of the attitude, okay, he's not religious, he doesn't want to be religious, let him stay there, you know, let him stay in the non-Jewish world, so to speak. Here the Torah says, Echad me'echad yigalanu, there's a mitzvah to redeem him, from Goyishkeit. You have to take the Jew and be Makad of him. You have to bring him back to Yiddishkeit. But the Torah says like this, whether his uncle or a cousin, Ben Daidi, should redeem him, or Mish'er Bisari Mi Mishpachtai, or any other relative from his family, Yigalenu, should redeem him, or he Siga Yadiv Inigal. What happens is the Jewish slave himself now got the money to buy himself back. The Torah says he has a mitzvah to buy himself back. So in other words, the mitzvah is on relatives, and again, the Mefarshim say the closer the relative, it has to be done. Now the din is like this. This slave, again, we're talking about Jewish people, the Beis Din has control even over the non-Jews. When a Jew sells himself to a guy, he doesn't go out in 6 years, like a Jew does. You know, when a Jew sells himself to another Jew, he goes out in 6 years. When a Jew sells himself to a guy, he goes out in Yovel. He's a slave until Yovel. Well, not 50 years in the time he sold. Whenever the Yovel is, it could be 5 years to Yovel, 10 years of to Yovel, it could be 49 years to Yovel. But a Jew who is sold, and again, the Beis Din has the authority in the land, so they make the guy, you know, redeem him after Yovel. Nevertheless, there's still a mitzvah and relatives and himself and the Beis Din to redeem him even earlier, as soon as possible.
Is it applied to jail also?
To what?
Somebody's going, Jewish guy going to jail and he paid the...
That's another mitzvah called Pidyon Shvuyim. That's a mitzvah called redeeming the captives. In a similar sense, it's the same concept, but it's really a different... It's counted as a different mitzvah. Mitzvah Pidyon Shvuyim is also a very big mitzvah.
What?
What
about if there's no Beis Din?
If there's no Beis Din, then all these dinim don't apply. We're talking about even the big Beis, any Beis. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Jews controlled the land, the cities had Beis. Sheftim v'sheitim titim b'chol she'erecha. There was a Beis in every city. Today's world, this whole din doesn't apply. We don't have the din of a Jew selling himself as a slave either. A Jew can't sell himself to another Jew either. You can't buy goyish slaves either today. The whole concept doesn't exist today anyway. But in the time when it did exist, then Beis Din and the city had the jurisdiction and the authority over the people that lived there. As part of, just like Jews are bound by American law, those goyim were bound by Eretz Yisrael law, which in that time wasn't Knesset; it was the Beis Din.
Now
it's
similar.
If a Jew has Shalom and soul, you know, gets married to a goy,
no,
the family, someone has to go and save him.
So. Yeah. What's no, he said somebody intermarried. So it's the same concept in spirit. That's also Pidyon Shvuyim. That's the same thing as this, yeah? Correct? But obviously, how are you going to... Well, so here you buy him back. If a guy intermarries with a non-Jewish person, what are you going to do? Shoot him. I mean, shoot them, shoot him. Shoot them both. That's not... We're not talking about intermarriage now. Now we're learning about... What? He said that. It's the same concept, but it's a different mitzvah. Okay. So the Pasuk says like this. In Pasuk Nun. V'chishav, how do you buy him back? So it says like this. V'chishav im kenehu, you reckon with the buyer, mishnas hi mochrolei, from the year he sold it to him, atshnas ha-yevel, until the year of yevel. So in other words, again, this Eved, even though he was sold to a guy, goes out in the Yovel year. So let's say there are 10 years left to Yovel. You sold him for $1,000, so it's $100 a year. Right? That's the chesed. If it's 10 years, $100,000 is $100 a year. So then you come to the guy and say, okay, he worked for you for 1 year. Here's $900 back. And the Eved goes free. But the Torah says, in fact, it's interesting, somebody, Shainim, learned from this Pasuk that you're not allowed to steal from a guy. We know it's biblically forbidden to steal from a guy, believe it or not, Jews don't know that. But you're not allowed to steal from a guy.
Same,
it's also min ha-Torah. It's biblically forbidden to steal from a guy. So one of the sources Pasuk can bring down is in this pasuk, because you're talking with a guy, and the Torah says v'chishav him kenei. You have to make a cheshbon, you have to make a reckoning with him, how much you owe him, and you can't rip him off. Even though, you know, there's a mitzvah to get him out, and Bezdin's in control, so Bezdin could say, okay, you know, just go out. No, the Torah says v'chishav him kenei. You have to make a reckoning with the buyer. Mishnasi machro lei, from the year he sold him. Ashnasa yevil, meaning how many years it left. V'haya kesiv mimkarei, the money of the purchase should be b'mizpah shanim, divided by the year, k'mei sachir, just like the years of a laborer. Remember, we learned by Eved Ivri, right? By Eved Ivri we learned that he works for 6 years, but the Eved could also redeem himself earlier. The Eved Ivri could redeem himself, or a relative could redeem himself, right? So, then how did you do it there? We learned. You again reckon how many years, how much he was bought for, how many years divided by six, and then you buy it back. So the same thing the Torah says, just like you make the reckoning, the cheshbon with a Jew, a Jewish owner, you make the same reckoning with a non-Jewish owner. Shh. Go down. So 1 minute. We learned also in the Gemara, it's another interesting thing. What happens if you sell him to the guy sells himself to a guy,
and then
you redeem him, and then he sells himself again to the guy. Jewish business. and then he says, hey, you have to redeem me. So you learned in the Gemara the whole thing, how often you have to redeem him, but it's not so simple. You know, the guy says, it's a good deal. I'm selling myself as a slave, they have to redeem me. Well, sure, the money he sold for. No, when the Jew sells himself to the guy, so he says, I'm selling myself for $1,000. The slave gets $1,000. Right, and then the family has to redeem him. Then he'll go do it again, get another $1,000. It's a good business. Okay, so the Torah says v'chishiv and kenei, you have to make a reckoning with it. Now, the fact the mefarshim say in pasuk memtes when it says his uncle or his nephew or his cousin ben doydei should redeem him, yigaleno should or misher b'sarei or any other relative. So from there, the mefarshim learn out. The punning office learns that even applies to mother's family as an obligation to read. Normally, mishpacha is called mishpacha so'av in many aspects in halacha. The fact that the Torah says mishe'er b'sorei from any other relative, that includes even the mother's family, would also be obligated to redeem him based on the means. Whoever has the closer the relative, the more the obligation. Obviously, if a closer relative doesn't have the means to buy him back in a distant relative, thus the distant relative has to do it.
If a friend had money, they're not obligated, but they could do that.
Yeah. It's an obligation on a bezin. It's a mitzvah for a Jew. It's like pigeon shvuyim in that respect also. But there's no, you can't obligate a friend if he's not a relative. Now, the relatives bezin can actually obligate. The Torah says they can go into your, if bezin knows you have money, they can take the money from you to redeem him. But a friend, you can't obligate a friend to redeem. Okay, now, he brings on over here like this. We just said the Gemara learns out from this pasuk is one of the sources that you're not allowed to steal from a goy. Then you have another interesting thing. In the Braise it says that even though you're not allowed to steal from a Jew and you're not allowed to steal from a goy, equally biblically, there's still, it's worse. This the Jews for sure don't know. It's worse to steal from a guy than from a Jew. Because of Chilul Hashem. So the Braise says, because when you steal from a Jew, steals from a Jew, he's not going to blame all Jews for stealing. He's just going to blame you. But when you steal from a guy, so then the guy will blame all Jews. So then it becomes a Chilul Hashem, and that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. And by the way, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that's why when the Shvatim, you know, came back from Mitzrayim with the money and the sacks, Yaakov told them to give it back. Why did Yaakov tell them to give it back? L'chayre, they didn't steal the money. They were given the money. Right? They were given the money. They didn't steal it. But Yaakov won because it shouldn't come to Chilul Hashem. You know, again, in technical halachic terms, they didn't have to give back the money. Somebody gave them whatever it was. They found it. Somebody gave it to them. But Yaakov Avinu didn't want that there should be any trace of even a thinking of a Chilul Hashem, and therefore he made him do it.
So when the guy making a mistake and give you extra money or whatever, and I called you a few times and you said it, you don't have to give it back or whatever, you don't have to go around or...
No.
This is not a stealing?
If a guy makes a mistake, you don't have to give it back, halachically. It says in halacha, if you'll cause a kiddush Hashem by it, but if you do it to a store that the guy that you they have it is not even, it's a big chain, you don't even have the same workers, so then the law doesn't apply, basically. But if it's a private guy, and even though Alpidin, you're allowed to keep the money, because he made a mistake, if you give it back, it'll be a Kiddush Hashem, so then it says it's good to do it to make a Kiddush Hashem.
And it's also dishonest.
It's not dishonest if somebody makes a mistake. In not only in civil law but in halachic law, why is it dishonest?
If you go to buy $5 purchase and the next of they gave you $5 back, they gave you $7 back, so the $2 is extra, but you didn't steal it.
What happens if something? Let me tell you something. What happens in halacha says like this: something is marked, let's say $12.50, and the guy when he's ringing up the money didn't see the one, so he charged you $2.50. So now, this could be. Now everything's scanned, so I mean, but in the olden times. Oh. That's a Jew.
Scanning, sometimes they load the wrong price from the computer.
Okay, right, okay. But I'm saying, what happens, halachically, if it was marked $12.50 and the guy gave it to you for $2.50, you didn't steal, he charged you $2.50.
Mistake.
Yeah, but right, I'm saying, but halachically, you did not take. He charged you $2.50.
You know that you get extra money. Why not? It's stealing.
Why is it stealing?
Because you know this is.
Let me ask you a question. If this Chumash cost if this Gemara cost $20,
yes.
Can I sell it to you for $10?
If you want to sell it, you can sell it.
Okay.
But if not, you don't sell it.
Okay.
You know it. This person who gave you the extra.
But according to Allah, okay, we're not learning the laws of stealing now from a guy. But the bottom line is, in Allah it says, Tos Akum is mutter. If a Jew makes a mistake, you have a halachic obligation to give it back. Just like, you know, you can't take interest from a Jew, but you can take interest from a guy. Why can't you take interest from a guy?
I just think it's moral to do.
I'm not saying you should. But if it's going to make a kiddush, okay. 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 Now, so now you have to make a reckoning. So therefore, like this, if you steal from a guy, then you can have this concept of Chilul Hashem. So he says like this in Pasuk Nun Aleph, Im Eid Rabbis Vashanim, if there's many years left to Yovel, the fee and based on the amount of years Yashiv Geulasei, should you return the redemption, Mikasev Miknasei, from the money of his purchase. Now, before we go further, there's a very interesting Mamloyes here that brings on Rabbeinu Bechaya and speaks that all these psukim is a very interesting thing. All these psukim speak about Jews going into Golos. This last thing that we're learning. Jew being sold to a guy, right, is a Jew going into Golos. And Rabbeinu Bechaya said like this. It says, Ger v'teishav imach, ola'eke mishpachas ger. It says, Ger, teishav imach, or la'eke mishpachas ger. So there's four expressions. So he says, that's the remez for the four exiles the Jewish people went into. Ger is Malchus Bavel, the Babylonian exile. Teishav is Madai. Imach is Yavon. And Eke Mishpachas Ged is the present Golus of Rome. Then he says, what does the Pasuk say before? In Pasuk Memches, Acharei Nimkar, after you get sold, meaning you're sold into Golus, Yishno Geula Tihi Yalei, you're going to be redeemed. And he brings down that interesting thing, that the word tihiye is the numerical value of Bimei Mashiach. Tihiye is 420, Bimei Mashiach equals 420. So the pasuk says like this, if a Jew gets poor spiritually, and because of that they get sold, and he mentions four names which refer to the four galus, he's not done yet by the way, four galus, and he said, you should know Hashem promises us, Geula Tihiyale. There's going to be a Geula through Mashiach. Then he says, the pasuk says, Oy day day, Oy ben day day yigalenu. Oh, no, number one. Before that. Echad me echav yigalenu. Who is Echad me echav? One of the brothers, which was somebody from Yehuda, because Yehuda was like the king of the brothers. Echad me echav, meaning the greatest of the brothers, will be the one that will redeem him, meaning Mashiach will come from from Yehuda. And then he says like this, Ay day day, Ay van day day. Okay? Day day, if you look in the Chumash, is missing a vav. Daid in Hebrew is Dalid vav Dalid. Wait, how do you say Dod in Hebrew? Dalid vav Dalid. So day day would be spelled Dalid vav. In the Chumash, it's day day. Why? Because day day is the letters David. Ben day day means Ben David. Who is Mashiach coming from? David Malka Mashiach. Or Ben day day. They come from Mashiach. Yigalenu. And then he's going to redeem the Jews. And then he says like this. Ahisiga yodei v'nigal. Either they'll be able to pay back and get redeemed, or, like the Pasuk says later, V'yatze b'shnasa yoivel, in Pasuk Nun Dalet. Coming up, he says, then he'll be redeemed in yoivel. So there's two options how a Jew sold to a guy can go out. Either you redeem him, so he goes out earlier, or when yoivel comes, he goes out. See, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, what does this mean? Either they'll be redeemed earlier by doing tshuva, or like by year 6,000, for sure Mashiach has to come anyway. That's like the Yovel. But you can get him out earlier by redeeming him. How do you redeem a Jew from Galus? By doing tshuva. So he says, this whole pasuk, that's what the Rebbeinu Bechaya says, this whole concept over here of the Jew being sold to a non-Jew actually refers to Jews being in Galus. But Hashem promises us that afterwards is going to be Geula Tihiyalei. There will be for sure redemption. Echad me'echav yigalenu from Shevet Yehuda. A day the David HaMelech, a ben day the ben David, Mashiach ben David will redeem him. Or that's if you want, you could redeem him with tshuva, kesef, meaning buying back early through tshuva. If not, you go out by yovel anyway. Okay, so he says like this: V'ma'atni pasuk nun beis. V'ma'atni shebashon imachnasa yovel. What happens if there's so? If there's many years, you figure accordingly. What happens if there's a few years left? Based on the amount of years and the money, Yashiv is gulasi, you buy him back. So basically, the Torah is saying a very simple din. You figure out how many years to Yevil, how much money was spent, how much per year, and you redeem him back. By the way, even if the guy didn't want, the din is Bezin forces him to redeem him, even if he doesn't want. Even if the owner, the boss, doesn't want to let Bezdin forces him to. Now, Kischir Shana Beshana Yia Imai, it should be like a worker, like an Evid Kanan, Evid Ivri, that you could redeem based on the amount of years. Lo Yudana Beferech Lehinecha. He's not allowed to subjugate him to work hard Lehinecha, to your eyes. What does it mean? So that it doesn't mean that not in your eyes, you can make him work hard. Devin Ezra explains what it means is that slaves, fellow Jews, are forbidden to stand by and tolerate the way a Jew is being slaved harshly. They have to do something about it. So that's what it means. In other words, Jews have to make sure that the person cannot make the Jew be a hard labor slave. Now the Pasuk Nun Dalet says, V'mloyi go'el be'ela. What happens if he's not redeemed with this money? V'yata b'shnasa yevel hu ubanav imei. The Jewish slave and his kids. So again, like we learned before, how do his kids get here? So the Gemara learned out again from this pasuk. The pasuk obviously says it clearly that when a guy buys a Jewish slave, that's what you learned. When you buy a Jewish slave, you have to support the kids. When a guy buys a Jewish slave, he has to support the kids. Therefore, when the Jew goes out of slavery at Yovel from the guy doesn't have an obligation anymore to support the guy's kids. So in other words, even when a guy bought a Jew, again, this is under Jewish control. So, number one, he has to allow him to be redeemed. Secondly, he has to support the guy's kids.
Rabbeinu, does this thing apply to Jews who work for a boy?
No. No. We're talking about slaves. Not a Jew that works for a guy.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference, slave or employed?
Well, a slave, you own them officially. Sometimes at work they own you too. Sometimes at work they own you too.
Yeah. Especially now.
Huh?
Especially now.
Okay. Kili bnei Yisrael avodim. Hashem says, why is all this apply? Because kili bnei Yisrael avodim, the Jews are my servants. Avodahem, they're my servants. Asher tzeisi yosim eretz Mitzrayim. I took them out of Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem alekechem, I am God, you God. So basically Hashem says, all these dinim that we just learned in the previous whole perek, in fact, about a Jewish slave and a Goyish slave and a Jew, you know, the various different levels of slaves, Hashem says to the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael are my avodim, and therefore I will control how a Jew is allowed to be an Eved and how he's not allowed to be an Eved and all the dinim applying to it. But what? No. No. Now, this concept of avodaihem means that a Jew serves Hashem as being an Eved. The equivalent is Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu means we serve Hashem, he's our father and we're his kids. That's one relationship. Malkeinu means Hashem is our king and we are his servants, his subjects. So that's the concept of avodim. But what's unique about the concept of a Jew being Hashem's Eved is that an Eved is really an extension of the Master. Like we learned in the past, when an Eved, a Goyish Eved, finds something in the street, it automatically belongs to the Master, because he is an extension of the Master. A Jew, basically, through this, is an extension of the Master. The level of Bittul, of an Eved to the Master, is much more than the level of a Bittul of a child to a parent. Child and parent is not so much the Bittul aspect of relationship, it's more the love aspect of relationship. But Eved, it's not love, it's basically the concept of Kabbalah Sil and Bittul. So the Torah says basically you need to have both, but it's Liban Yisrael Avadim. Okay, the last two psukim is something, a very interesting concept to talk about. The Sasu Lachem Elilim, the Torah says not like this. Don't make gods for yourself. Don't make idols. Do not erect a statue or a pillar. And in a place of flooring stone. In the time of the Goyim's idol worshipping, they would put precious stones on the floor and they would bow to it on the floor. Therefore, the Torah says you're not allowed to do that. You should not put on the floor of your land l'shtachve soleho to bow on it, ki ani Hashem alekechem. Okay, so the Torah says two things over here. Number one, you cannot okay, then he says like this, Ashapsaisi tishmeru, you should fear my Shabbos, can't keep my Shabbos, Umigdoshi Tiro, and you should fear my Migdosh, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Okay? So number one, there's three mitzvahs over here that the Torah is saying. The Torah is saying, number one, you cannot make idols. Number two, you need to keep Shabbos. Number three, you need to fear the Beis Hamikdash. Which number one, the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara says, and Halacha says, this pasuk Migdoshi Tiro, goes on every shul and Beis Medrash and every holy place. It doesn't only refer to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay? Just like Shapsesi Tishmeru is constant, whether it is a Beis Hamikdash or not, Mikdashi Tiro, number one, it does apply even, let's say, inside the Kaisel. You know, inside the Kotel, you're not allowed to go, there's certain things you're not allowed to do. Because even though there's no Beis Hamikdash now, the Gemara says the obligation of fearing the Beis Hamikdash applies. And Mikdashi Tiro also refers to the concept of Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, that also does a Mikdash Ma'at, a miniature Beis HaMikdash, that needs to be taken care of. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains over here like this. What's the connection between the mitzvah of idol Shabbos and fearing the Beis HaMikdash? Okay? So he says like this. Shabbos desecration is similar to idol worshipping. Because we know that the Gemara says somebody is openly mechallel Shabbos, meaning knows about it and you know everything and desecrates Shabbos, as a din like a goy. Okay, we're not talking about today where people don't know, they never learned, and you know, so there's called tinik shenishba, like a child that was kidnapped and raised by goyim, so you never knew better. But a person who knows, which is called mechallel Shabbos, has a din like a goy. Why? Because Shabbos, as we learned many times, Shabbos, the Gemara says, is Yisoid HaEmuna. Shabbos is the foundation of Jewish belief. What does Shabbos teach a person? Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So Shabbos is the foundation of the point that Hashem created the world. If you believe Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, then you have to keep the concept of Shabbos. So there's a connection between Shabbos and idols in the respect that Shabbos is likened to idol. Okay? Now, he says Shabbos also includes Shemitah, the seventh year. And that's what he says, what's the connection that Aruch Chaim says between Shabsesi Tishmeru or Mikdashi Tiro? What's the connection between Shabbos and keeping the Mikdash? Because the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were driven out of Eretz Yisrael because they didn't keep Shemitah. They didn't keep the sabbatical year, so it's not the 7 day of the week, but the seventh year, because they didn't keep Shemitah. Rashi says in so many places that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't keep the laws of Shemitah. Okay? So these three laws is like this: Shabbos, idols, and basically the concept of Mikdashi Tiro. Okay, Mikdashi Tiro. I didn't see this anywhere, but L'chayri you can say, based on what's brought down in many places, it's brought down in Sfarim, that there's three things. In fact, it's Rosh HaTevis of Har Sinai Oshan Kulay. Oshan, Ayin Shin Nun, is Rosh HaTevis, an acronym for Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Olam means world, which is place. Shana is year, time. And Nefesh is person. Okay? For instance, it's brought down that the Kohen Gadol, An Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was the holiest person in the holiest place and on the holiest day of the year. So you have all three aspects there. Okay? You have the three things of Olam, Shana and Nefesh. Time, place, and person. Okay? If you look at these three mitzvahs, it's very interesting. These three mitzvahs represent Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Idols refers to the person worshipping idols. Right? Person cannot worship idols. Shabbos is the concept of time. And Mikdash is the concept of place. Mikdash is the concept of place, of Olam, of place. But the Pasuk is saying at the end of Parshas Bahad, after it talks about Libnei Yisrael Avodim, and right, the Hashem is saying, you're my Avodim now that I took you out of Mitzrayim, now you're an Eved. So Hashem is teaching us that this aspect of a Jew being an Eved of Hashem has to be with these three mitzvahs. In other words, Hashem is saying, in time, place, and person, you need to have the connection as an Eved to Hashem. And therefore he mentions these three, because like we said, Avedis Zora, idol worshipping is obviously contradictory to Hashem. Hashem says, you're my Evan, you go worshipping a different master. Shabbos, Hashem says, I created the world, you're doubting me. I mean, you know, it can be. Beis HaMikdash is the Mokim of the Shekhinah, where Hashem rests in the world. So the Hashem says, this connection that a Jew has to be an Evid of Hashem has to be in every type of a mitzvah. Whether mitzvah of time, place, or person, the Jew needs to be connected to Hashem to realize that they're Evid to Hashem, and not an Evid to anybody else.
Just generalize it.
Right. Now, in a simple sense, the Mefarshim explain, why is this pasuk, don't make idols, connected to this story of Avadim? So it's very simple. He's telling this Jew who sold as a slave to the guy that, remember, don't make idols. I mean, even though the guy that you're working for might be working, even though he accepted the seven mitzvahs, but, you know, people in his household might not be, you know, they might be worshipping idols. So Hashem says, listen, you're still not allowed to make idols. Don't think, well, if my master's doing it, then I could do it. My master's not keeping Shabbos, you know, or I don't have to make Kedusha out of the world. Mekdashi did all refers to making Kedusha out of everything in the world. So Hashem says, Ani Hashem, you still have to do it. This is the simple meaning that through this, the Ramban writes, so to speak, to these mitzvahs, the Jew will find strength that even in the most difficult circumstances, like he's living by a guy who owns him, he'll still be able to keep Torah mitzvahs. So the Ramban says, this is why the Torah is mentioning these three mitzvahs now, to show that under all difficult times, he has to keep his Jewishness, and if a Jew keeps in mind not to worship idols, obviously, keeping Shabbos a testimony, Hashem created heaven and earth, you know, realizing the concept of Kedusha, so a Jew will be able to keep the mitzvahs properly. Okay, let's just start the next parasha, B'chukai say. You're moving along. We're really moving fast. Okay, this first few psukim of B'chukai say really has a lot to talk about just in the first few psukim. Okay, Torah says like this, in B'chukai say teleichu, if you will follow in my mitzvahs, v'as mitzvaisi tishmeru, and you will keep my mitzvahs, v'asisem eisem, and you will do them. Okay? So now, Rashi says, that what does it mean here, in b'chukaisi teleichu, Rashi says, what does this mean? If b'chukaisi teleichu means you should follow mitzvahs, the next word says mitzvaisi tishmeru. So what is b'chukaisi teleichu? Rashi says what it means is Shatiyah Meilim Betayram. B'chukai Se Teleichu means not the concept of doing mitzvahs, because that says right away in the next pasuk, the next word. That's Mitzvah Se Tishmur. You have to keep the mitzvahs. What did B'chukai Se Teleichu mean? That a Jew needs to be diligent in the learning of Torah. Now, number one, number two, the Mefarshim explain that what's the connection between these three things. If you're diligent in learning Torah, then you learn Torah to keep the mitzvahs, then you will be able to do them. Vasisim eisam, you will be able to do them. Now, the Medrash also says, im does not only mean if, because we mean if. She was supposed to keep Torah. Ein im elo loshin tachnunim, the Medrash says. Im means Hashem is begging. I beg you, b'chukai se teleichu. I beg you to keep the chukim or all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now when the Torah says, im b'chukai se teleichu, the concept of b'chukai se, we know that there's eidus, chukim, and mishpatim, right? Mishpatim are the logical ones. Eidus are what's called the testimonial mitzvahs, which means, on our own, we wouldn't come up with them. But after Hashem tells us to keep them, we understand it. And as mishpatim are logical mitzvahs, that Gemara says in Eidavin, even if, God forbid, he wouldn't have given the Torah, we would keep it anyway. The moral mitzvahs of the Torah. Eidus are mitzvahs that on our own we wouldn't come up with. For instance, on our own, we wouldn't come up with the concept of Shabbos. But after Hashem gives us Shabbos and he says, listen, I created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, I want you to keep Shabbos. It's logical. In other words, not logic that we would come with on our own, but it's logical that after we hear it, it makes sense. Pesach. On our own, we wouldn't come up with a Yom de Pesach. Hashem says, listen, you're a slave, they took you out, keep Pesach, it makes sense. Chukim are things that don't make sense at all. The laws of kashrus, the laws of purity and impurity, meat and milk, shatnez, things that are, in math, two positives don't make a negative. Wool is allowed, linen is allowed, you mix them together, it becomes not good. Milk is kosher, meat is kosher, you mix them together, it becomes treif. You know, the things that doesn't make sense. So chukim refers to illogical mitzvahs, eidus refers to logical mitzvahs, but on our own we wouldn't think of them, and mishpatim refers to the mitzvahs that even on our own we would understand it. In Chassidus it explains, and this we've learned in the past, the concept of chayk, chukesai, the Alter Rebbe interprets in the Likutei Torah and many places in Chassidus, comes from the word chakika. Chakika means engraved. Okay? You have, we learned, written letters, engraved letters. Written letters, ink and parchment, you could erase. Engraved letters, you can't erase. It's part of the stone. Okay? The Torah is begging, im, b'chukesi telechu, doesn't only mean you should go on the ways of mitzvahs. Because if, you know, the mitzvahs the Jew has to keep. You know, what do you mean, im, b'chukesi telechu? Hashem says like this. Okay, if you keep mitzvahs, I'll give you good. If you don't keep mitzvahs, I'll give you bad. So, okay, says, okay, don't give me good, I won't keep mitzvahs. Obviously, you can't do that either. Right? It doesn't mean, if you take this pasuk literally and learn the next five psukim, you'll see like this. If you follow the ways of my mitzvahs, I'll give you everything good. If you don't, I'll punish you. Right? So what happens if the guy says, you know, lo me'uksech, lo me'duvshech. Don't give me your sting, don't give me your honey. You know, don't mad.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, you can't say that. Okay? So what does it mean, im b'chukai se telechu? Besides the fact that Hashem is begging, the pasuk three words im b'chukeisei telechu means the following: if when a Jew does mitzvahs in the way of b'chukeisei, that it's engraved within you, then telechu you'll be able to jump and move in a tremendously great way. It says halicha when it says in the Torah, Chassidus explains the concept. There's a pasuk that says about neshamas versus malachim, v'nasati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'emdim ha'ela. I'll make you as goers amongst the standing ones. So the Mefarshim in Tanakh explain, who are the standing ones? The malachim. Right? Serafim aimdim mi ma'aloi, the malachim are aimdim. Why are they aimdim? It says because they stay on the same level. They stand in one place. So it says, we find Midrashim, the Malachim, when they sing Shira, also go higher. So it says that when a Malach goes higher, it's only a gradual ascent. It's only a little bit higher. It's connected to the earlier level. So therefore, if they're going only a little bit higher, it's called standing. Mahalich means, Yelchu Michayel Lachoyul, you go from level to level, it's a jumping to a much greater level. In order for a Jew to be a proper mahalech, telechu, to go to an infinitely greater height level, Hashem is saying, it's not enough to do mitzvahs. If the mitzvahs become b'chukaisai, the mitzvahs become engraved within you, that they're a part of you, it's not that there's mitzvahs and there's me and it's two separate things and I am going to do mitzvahs. That's not chakika, that's ksiva. Chakika means it's part and parcel of the existence of the stone. When the mitzvah becomes part of the existence of the person, that this is him, him and the mitzvah is the same thing, so then the Torah says, Buch telechu, then you're going to be able to go to infinitely greater levels. And therefore it says that many times, like over here, the mitzvahs are also referred to chukesei, Torah learning, and the mitzvahs are called chukim. even though there's different mitzvahs, there's mishpatim and edus and so on, but even the mitzvahs of logical mitzvahs, the Torah says, a Jew is not supposed to keep them because they're logical. A Jew doesn't not steal because it's morally wrong to steal. A Jew doesn't steal because Hashem said so. Not because of logic, because of chukim. Illogical. A Jew doesn't steal, not because it's logically wrong to steal. It's because it's illogically Hashem says don't steal because they said so. Why? It's very simple. Even what we understand is not the reason why Hashem understands. Right? When you tell a little kid something to do, they understand it on their level, but the parent has a much deeper reason why they're telling him to do it. That's beyond the understanding of the kid. Even the mitzvahs that we understand, or we think we understand, is not the real reason that Hashem has. Hashem thinks completely different. When Hashem says, don't steal, it's not for the reason we think it's wrong to steal. That's number one. Number two, it goes even further than that. If a Jew or person doesn't steal because it's morally, intellectually wrong to steal, so there are times that a person will rationalize why it's correct to steal.
Robin.
Oh, Robin Hood. Famous, my famous marshal of Robin Hood. Robin Hood, in folklore, is a legend. Right? Robin Hood, if you don't know Robin Hood, go back to school. Yeah. Robin Hood is a hero. He stole from the rich and gave to the poor. Rationally, he stole from the sheriff of Nottingham, who himself stole from others. So, Robin Hood is a hero, and he still, according to Torah, Robin Hood was a ganef. He was not allowed to do what he did. Because the Torah doesn't say don't steal because it's morally wrong to steal because. The Torah says don't steal as an absolute. So even those mitzvahs that we do understand, we don't not keep them or keep them because it's logical. The Torah says, "In b'chukai se'telechu," we do it because Hashem said to do it. We don't steal because I understand it's wrong to steal, because then when I understand it's right to steal, I'll steal. We don't steal because Hashem says, so therefore all the mitzvahs really, the Torah is teaching us, needs to be done, number one, b'chukai se, in a way that we don't understand it. And at a deeper level, we do the mitzvahs because it's part of our existence. Okay.